like the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to come to order. Today is April 17th, 2018, and I'm Senator Mia Costello, and welcome Senator Gardner.
Thank you.
And welcome Vice Chair Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Today we have two bills on the agenda. One we've heard before, which is Senate Bill 160, introduced by Senator Begich, related to net neutrality. That one we'll hear second. The first bill on our agenda is House Bill 346, related to temporary permits for dentists. And we've actually heard companion bills, so this should not be unfamiliar to the members, but we do have the sponsor of Representative Keto. Welcome. And if you could just introduce the bill, since we haven't had public testimony on this, we'll go ahead and take it after you introduce it. And then my intention is to move it out.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I appreciate you hearing House Bill 346. House Bill 346 will allow the Board of Dental Examiners, for the record, my name is Sam Keto III, Representative House District 33, downtown Juneau in northern southeast Alaska. House Bill 346 allows the Board of Dental Examiners to grant temporary licenses to emergency replacements for dental specialists or for a dentist serving in a community that doesn't have additional dentists. Only 136 of the 647 dentists in Alaska are actually dental specialists. They cover eight different specialties across the state. So getting small communities the requisite care is very complicated, especially when those specialists are not available or because of an emergency situation there to be able to provide those services. So what the dental board has found is getting small communities the care they need is complicated, and there are opportunities for gaps in coverage that this bill actually helps to try and alleviate. Temporary dental licenses under this legislation would allow the Board of Dental Examiners to maintain dental care in the communities until a full-time dentist can be found. Board is ideally qualified to review these, and we did make a slight change in the House version. The House version we had was only a subtle efficiency in granting it a license and did not guarantee that we were going to be able to get somebody to fill the shoes of a sitting dentist in very short order. And sometimes these emergency situations occur without much notice. And so this gives the board the ability to bring somebody from another jurisdiction that has a license and allow them to participate as a dentist in Alaska for a short period of time, and they can do one extension of that time. But if they end up spending more time here, then the recommendation is they get licensed. But it is an opportunity, especially in those areas of specialties where we don't have a whole lot of excess coverage in communities, and for dentists in smaller communities where you don't have a whole lot of dentists there that can backfill if a dentist has to leave for an emergency. So what this does really is provide that temporary bridge or fills that gap so that we can provide adequate dental care to all Alaskans equitably.
Thank you very much, and, Representative Keto.
We'll also let you know that we have Dr. Logan with the Alaska Dental Society in the room and available to provide additional testimony.
Okay, we'll bring him up in a minute. Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two quick questions, and one is, do we anticipate that there'll be a lot of interest among dentists to take advantage of this opportunity?
Through the chair, that answer specifically would probably be better answered by the Dental Society. This is not a situation, in my understanding, that occurs regularly or frequently, but it does occur often enough that we don't have the ability to actually provide for those dentists. I guess one example I would like to provide is there was a period of time, and I get my dental service from the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Center, where they did not have a dentist and they were not able to offer dental services and they were having difficulty getting somebody to Juneau. This provision might have allowed them to bring somebody in temporarily to help fill that gap so Alaskans weren't waiting for service. That can happen especially in smaller communities where you might only have a single dentist and that dentist has to leave unexpectedly and had not been able to arrange for a backfill dentist. So I do think that it is something that happens regularly, but my understanding is it doesn't happen often.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, I have another question, but
Senator,
in response to that, I just say that we sort of have the Alaska card, so I imagine there may be dentists who are not, who are working part-time or maybe retired and still have an active license who'd like to come up to Alaska for a limited period. Is that sort of the pool we might be looking for?
Through the Chair, Senator Gardner, the pool we're actually looking for are those dentists that are not licensed in Alaska that could provide mm-hmm. services. So it's not somebody that might have an existing license. It might actually be a practicing dentist in another area, or there might be situations where maybe a dentist goes from location to location filling in. I do have a friend of mine who performs a locum tenens service as a medical doctor, where they go around and help relieve doctors in small communities around the country, actually, and that doctor works here in Alaska. So this person does a lot of her work that way, by picking up shifts or picking up times for other doctors. There might be dentists out there that might only want to work part of the year, and this would be an opportunity for them to fill in as needed in various places.
Thank you. Madam Chair,
Senator,
when we saw the other version of this bill, one of the questions that came up, and I see it's still here, is on page 2, lines 3 through 5, and it says the temporary permit issued under this section is valid only to treat patients of the incapacitated dentist at an address listed on the business license of the incapacitated dentist. And it's my understanding that there are a few dentists, at least, who have more than one business location, and they do them on different days of the week or different times in the month. And I just wonder what happens there if the dentist needs it in two locations, two offices needs help.
Through the Chair, Senator Gardner, I do think the Dental Society might be able to better answer this. I will make one effort, and that is that if a dental business does have multiple locations, I would suspect that this would cover that dentist in those locations, although each location might have different issues. And so perhaps a dentist could find somebody on an emergency basis in one location, but is not able to find a dentist in an emergency basis at a different location. So it really is very specified towards emergencies and making sure that we have the ability to cover dental services for Alaskans in those areas.
Thank you. So we'll see what the board has to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. And it does say at an address listed on the business license. So we have corporations, businesses, and professional licenses here, and I would assume that each location has their own license. And so the way I read it is that it does contemplate multiple locations.
Thank you. So the license is the facility, not the individual.
And I think the way this is written, it allows for a dentist who has multiple licenses. So anyway, but we'll get into that. Are there any further questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Representative Kito, is this unique to the state of Alaska, or do other states do something like this as well?
Through the Chair, Senator Meyer, I actually don't know. I can't answer that question, so maybe one of the other individuals would be able to.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
That answer.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Kito. Next, I'll invite Sarah Chambers forward with the Division of Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licenses. Welcome, Sarah. If you could state your name and title for the record and then respond to any questions that you've heard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Sarah Chambers, Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. And through the chair, Senator Gardner, yes, the chair is exactly right. Businesses must maintain a business license for each location. So the dental office that may be owned by the dentist who is incapacitated could be covered by the person who holds this temporary permit.
Thank you.
Sarah, does the administration have a position on the bill? I can't remember from the previous hearing.
The Madam Chair, the administration hasn't taken a position, but the board is in support of it.
All right. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Sarah, it may be here somewhere, but I didn't see it on your fiscal note. What does it cost to get one of these temporary permits?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, the fiscal note wouldn't reflect the license cost. That's something that the board and the division would have to figure out. The fiscal note only covers the cost of the need to adopt regulations. So I would, a typical temporary permit for a healthcare profession is usually anywhere from $50 to $100, and that's just off the top of my head. So that's a process we'll have to analyze with our statutory fee analysis and work with the board, but it wouldn't be cost prohibitive.
Okay, very good. Yeah, well, I was looking at the fiscal note and it says receipt services, so I didn't know what receipts, services you'd be getting that money from, the 2,600.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, all of our division is one fiscal component. So I think that the natural inclination is to look at a fiscal note and look directly at the bill that it's tied to for the source of that funding. But all 43 of our professions are rolled up into one division component. So those would be covered generally by dentist licensing fees.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
This might be a question for Dr. Logan, but can the board call an emergency meeting to approve a temporary license, or would they have to wait until their regularly scheduled meeting in order to address the situation?
Madam Chair, the board, all of our boards are able to call a teleconference within 5 days, which is what the Administrative Procedures Act allows for, so they do so regularly when it's needed to expedite matters like this.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions for Sarah? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to open public testimony on House Bill 346 and invite Dr. Paul Severa, who's with the Alaska Board of Dental Examiners, calling in from Valdez. Are you interested in providing testimony or just answering any questions that you've heard?
Yeah, I'm here just to answer any questions. I would like to say that the board is in favor of this. We'd like to be able to expedite this and, you know, kind of cut through some of the red tape to get somebody into an office that is really in need of temporary help.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay. Seeing no questions, thank you for being online to listen to the testimony and be available for questions. Next, Dr. Logan, if you'd like to come forward, state your name and association for the record and any comments you have on the bill.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair. Dave Logan, retired dentist in Juneau, Alaska, and current executive director for the Alaska Dental Society. I think Representative Keto did an outstanding job of presenting the bill and covering the main points of it there. And I just say that the Alaska Dental Society is in strong support of this. We've seen a couple of instances in the past couple of years, to answer one of your questions there, where we've had specialists suddenly become incapacitated. One had a stroke, another had a major traffic accident there. So with absolutely no warning, they were unable to practice. In one case, about 120 days. Other case, there was less, maybe about 70 days or so there. But up until that point, we really hadn't seen the need for it there. It's certainly not a common occurrence. I don't even think it would be a yearly occurrence. But we feel that it's a very necessary tool for the board to have in order to maintain continuous health care here in Alaska. As opposed to other states, Alaska, we're a big state, biggest, and people just can't easily move to another community for treatment. It's certainly way more effective to bring one dentist to a community than to try and fly members from a community to another location for treatment. And so, consequently, for being able to fill these gaps in the coverage when they occur, I think, and as certainly as we strive to hold down health care costs in Alaska, I think this would be a very valuable tool for the board. And with that, I'd just say I'd answer any questions that the committee has.
Are there any questions of the committee members? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much. Oh, Senator Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Doctor, for being with us today. So how would this work would the dentist get the temporary license first and then be part of a pool, and then when somebody is needs a specialist, you would pick from that pool? Or
we anticipate that the way it would work, if a specialist is incapacitated, either the specialist, assuming that they're still coherent and able to function in that way, or a designee for them, would put somebody's name forward. Typically, they're going to be a classmate of theirs or a colleague. We're anticipating this would be specialists that would be using these. There's just, in any given specialty in Alaska, there's only a handful, and they're full. They're just, there's no extra room within their schedule, so they'll probably pull from classmates that they went to school with, maybe colleagues that they've met in seminars over the years, their friends they've developed within their field. Those will be the ones that will step in. It'll be something out of necessity and to help the community.
Sure. Madam Chair, if I can follow up.
Senator Meyer.
So would they have to have the temporary permit license first before you could call them and say, hey, go out to Bethel? Or would they, you would say, that's the specialist we need. I know he's retired, and I think he'd come out. Could he get a quick temporary permit? Is that?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, that is the way we anticipate it working, is that they would put the person's name forward. There'd be an application with the board. It would go to the board, and if the board approves at that point, then they would figure out the logistics of how they would take over that practice for a limited period of time. So it would be a case where Dennis would be incapacitated, and then somebody's name would be put forward. They would undergo license approval at that point, a temporary license approval, and then they would take over the practice.
Okay. Madam Chair?
Senator Meyer.
So I guess I'm trying to figure out, is that a fairly quick process then?
Through the chair, it could be. The board has the ability to meet on an emergency basis. They also have the ability to circulate an application amongst themselves, and it would take, let's say, a week then to get it filled there. And realistically, for most of the specialties, a week gap certainly isn't the end of the world. I mean, people take vacations, they go fishing, they do whatever. So a week isn't really the key problem. It's that 90 days, 120 days without that sort of coverage that represents the problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Logan.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public or the profession that wish to testify on House Bill 346 here in Juneau? Any online? Okay, seeing none, public testimony is now closed. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for House Bill 346, D, version D, out of committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to moving the bill? Okay, seeing none, the bill moves, and we will take its House Bill 346 version Delta moves from committee, and we will take a brief at ease while we sign the documents. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next on our agenda is Senate Bill 160. This is the net neutrality legislation introduced by Senator Begich. And thank you for being here today with your aid. We've heard this bill before. We opened and closed public testimony. So today we have a few individuals that we've asked to provide some comments and wanted to give Senator Begich an opportunity to perhaps review any of the issues that had come up before and add anything additional for the committee to hear on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is, for the record, Tom Begich. I'm the Senator for District J in downtown, and I'm joined by my Chief of Staff, Dr. Sidney Linneman. And I do appreciate very much you hearing SB 160 again. Just a very quick reminder, SB 160 would require that Internet service abide by net neutrality principles here in Alaska, meaning no blocking lawful content, no paid prioritization or throttling unless for reasonable network management practices. Makes an exception for distance learning and telemedicine. It would ensure that we continue to have access to fair and open Internet, which treats all data, whether from a small business or a multinational corporation, equally and fairly. There's been some slight changes since last time we testified. Six governors have now signed executive orders requiring ISPs, Internet service providers with government contracts, to abide by net neutrality. We're not one of them, but other states have done this. 28 states have now introduced net neutrality legislation. 22 states' attorney generals have filed lawsuits against the FCC. We're not one of them yet, but the governor has written an op-ed piece about net neutrality, as has our senior senator, Senator Murkowski. And the problem we face is that it's now less than a week, or just a week, before the Congressional Review Act, which would reverse the decisions made by the FCC in December and finally promulgated, would or could be reversed. So it's even more imperative that we pass legislation. As we identified during what was a very robust discussion with your full committee last time, there are, of course, other questions about the underlying legalities and constitutionality of the bill, but the main issue was to try to set a template, because it's state legislatures that are going to have to set the template for what the federal legislature finally does in this instance, assuming that next week the deadline passes and the net neutrality rules go into effect. With that said, I don't want to take any more of your time. I know that time is always important after the 90th day, so let's we did in fact invite Jenny Stewart, who is the founder of Custom Everything Inc. It's an internet printing company based in Anchorage. That company, individual wrote a column that I read on Sunday in the Juneau Empire specifically about this issue, and so I thought it would be important for you to hear from a local business that employs 30 Alaskans and that could be dramatically affected by these rules. Also, we have asked Mike Robinson, the UAA, University of Alaska Anchorage's head of systems, who's also the chair of intellectual freedom of the Intellectual Freedom Committee for the Alaska Libraries Association, to be online, and then to testify. And then we also have a representative from the ACLU who testified last time to answer any questions that may arise that we cannot answer.
Thank you very much, Senator Begich. Are there questions of the bill sponsor before we go to those online? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Begich, if I asked this question last time, I apologize. but isn't there currently a federal lawsuit on this in going on?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, not a federal lawsuit from the state of Alaska. There are other, as I mentioned earlier, the 22 states attorneys generals have filed lawsuits against the FCC over this particular action. That won't change. Those lawsuits, of course, are in process. Many of these same states have introduced legislation similar, virtually identical to the legislation we're talking about here, as in an effort to set a common template for what I would call a proper net neutrality statute should look like. So, but no, we are not engaged in a lawsuit in the state of Alaska.
Okay, Madam Chair.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, I was asking because I was thinking, well, if that federal lawsuit gets resolved, if that would then trump whatever we do at the state level.
Well, it's difficult to say. If indeed that were the case, if the federal, and you know, I'm not, as you know, through the chair, Senator Meyer, like you, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that regardless of whether that federal lawsuit, which could take 2 or 3 years or longer, gets resolved, and we know many of our own Alaska lawsuits, I presented a packet of them. Some have taken actually over a decade to be resolved over appeals and other kinds of things. In the meantime, by setting the template, we could hopefully motivate Congress, and that's what this legislation attempts to do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess where I'm a little concerned or confused is the difference, you know, because the internet obviously is nationwide, worldwide. Mm-hmm. But if you have some areas that have certain laws and other areas have different laws, then will some providers of the internet just abandon those areas?
Through the chair to Senator Meyer. You did. That was the question you asked last time, and the answer I gave you then, and which I'll say again
is it
now.
The same answer.
It's the same answer. is
just checking.
No, it's the same answer. And the state of Washington, it was where we built this particular statute from. It's built on many of the other state statutes, and the idea is twofold. First, that we would create as much as possible, like we have done for other legislation around the country in other issues for other matters. The basically the voice of the states indicating what the key components of good legislation would be. And so our legislation mimics those pieces, what's called model legislation, I suspect, when it's an NCSL the National Conference of State Legislatures legislation. In this case, it's based on the same model, number one. Number two, protecting Alaskans' right and access to the Internet would, I believe, would not actually harm us. Were we to, in the case of the executive orders, for example, which we could model with this legislation, were we to enact these executive orders or pass law that would protect Alaska citizens, it wouldn't necessarily create a problem for Internet companies. It would ensure that they cannot and would not apply principles that blocked our access to the Internet from our citizens. And that's the goal that we're seeking here. We want to protect our citizens' access to the Internet and to make sure that that access is available to those, whether they are the poorest Alaskan residents or the wealthiest Alaskan residents. I would just add, in testimony recently, or not testimony, in debate recently, on the Senate floor, we discussed broadband access. That was a big issue. And one of the points that was made by a number of the members of the Senate at that time was the importance of ensuring equal access to all members of our citizenry here. I believe this legislation would go a step towards encouraging that.
Okay, and Madam Chair, so I think you might have said this earlier. In fact, I didn't even remember I asked that question last time, so in fact, I don't even know what I was wearing yesterday, so let alone a week ago.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, you were wearing a tie that looked a little bit different than that one.
Oh, good. Okay.
So Senator Meyer, you're forgiven.
At least I have a different tie on. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Oh, and by the way, I wanted to mention that Senator Stevens has joined us. He was previously with the Senate Finance Committee before coming down, so thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So where was I? Oh, yes. So,
talking about your clothing, I think.
Well, I was admiring your tie, actually. So, sorry, Madam Chair.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Okay. how many have others? And you might have said this. Okay. That's where I was. Other states have passed legislation like this.
I can, through the chair, Senator Meyer, as I mentioned, 28 states have introduced net neutrality legislation. I think six have passed net neutrality legislation. But let me ask my very competent aide, Dr. Linneman, if she could answer that question.
Yeah, she's got a PhD in physics, so she knows a lot.
Okay. She indeed does.
For the record, Sydney Linneman, staff to Senator Begich. Through the chair, Senator Meyer, I believe actually only Washington State has passed, although five other states, the governors have signed executive orders, so six states in total have legislation or have statutes on the books which require net neutrality for internet service providers within those states.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. And Dr. Sydney or Linneman, is it? Okay. Can I just call you doctor?
You can.
Okay. Yeah, the dentist is gone. I guess I can do that. Okay, so what the other five states that have done the executive orders, do you know who they are by chance?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, it's Hawaii, New Jersey, New York, Montana, and Vermont.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, and my questions fall along the lines or in the same vein as Senator Meyer, which is sort of the tension that exists between the federal government and the states and what we're doing. And I guess what I'm wondering is if you could respond to my understanding what this bill is that the majority of this bill is actually a statement of philosophy. Because if you look at line 9 on page 1, the term "in a manner sufficient for," that's not necessarily something you normally see in legislation. But it seems that where you have some more teeth in the bill is on page 2, starting with line 17. And could you comment on that observation of mine?
Sure. To the chair, Senator Begich. First, the idea of it being a philosophical statement, I think, is less. I'm not certain that's an accurate portrayal of it. When we say in a manner sufficient, it goes on to detail for consumers to make informed choices regardless of Internet use and content, as it says in lines 10 and 11 and then lines 12 and through. And then it also determines what not to happen. So the very specifics of the legislation are outlined here, and these are actually repeating the existing what were the existing FCC rules regarding net neutrality. It's just taking those same rules that were determined in a process of rulemaking and placing them within a legislation. But I would go a step further to say that if there is a philosophical argument here, that philosophical argument is the power of states to help identify for the federal government appropriate roles for the federal government. One of the unique elements of our democracy, and this is a philosophical statement, is the states are often the incubators of good ideas and innovation. And we hope that the national legislature would take our guide and take our direction and do the right thing to protect the citizens of each individual state. So if it is a philosophical point that's made with this legislation, that philosophical point is that we have a way of protecting, we have identified a way, working with other states, of protecting our citizens' access and right to the Internet. I would, I guess, further add that in 1989, I was overseas at school, and it was the first time I ever encountered the Internet. And I don't know when our first times were. It was a dream, perhaps a philosophy in its own way. I was with a series of archaeological students, and I couldn't believe that I was able to communicate with people in Greece while I was in England at the time, and then we were also communicating with people in New York City. It was free. It was open. It was started as a scientific endeavor of sharing information. There were national security and other manners that were engaged in it, and today we have an Internet that allows us to see, do, and essentially create anything. I further encountered the Internet when I went to the country of Egypt to work during their revolution in 2012 and 13. And during that time, if it wasn't for a free and open Internet, it is doubtful that the Mubarak regime would have ever been overthrown. So I think that there are philosophical issues here. And the primary one that I would describe is the right for states to determine and guide the federal government into making an appropriate decision. So in that regard, yes, but more importantly, this legislation is reflective of the existing rules that existed with the FCC and that have been repealed by the actions taken in December.
And then just to dovetail on Senator Meyer's question, if the bill were to pass and the federal legislation, and the federal government takes actions that we're hoping they will the bill be unnecessary at that point, or what would happen to it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's a very good question. Yes, it would, as with any issue, once the federal government takes a positive approach, if it actually replicated the very legislation we'd have, then it would make this legislation at that point, were that to occur, unnecessary. But until that point, at least we'd have the ability to stand and defend our citizens' right to a free and open Internet.
Thank you. And before we move on to other questions, I did want to mention to the members that there is a letter of opposition from AT&T that was provided in your packet, dated February 12, 2018. So I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the members before we moved on. Senator Stevens, do you have any questions?
Nope. Okay. No, ma'am.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Begich, Dr. Linneman. Appreciate you being here. So next, we have two individuals online who were hoping to provide some comments on the legislation. First,
could we have a brief ID, Madam President?
Oh yes, brief ID. Professor Robinson from the Alaska Library Association is online. Professor Robinson, if you'd like to provide comments on the bill, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, senators. Thank you for this time. My name is Mike Robinson, and as mentioned in the introduction, I work in technology at the University Library. I'm also on the Intellectual Freedom Committee of the Alaska Library Association. A few years ago, I represented the association on the Governor Parnell's Broadband Task Force, so I'm familiar with broadband issues in Alaska. And I'll try to keep my comments brief. Libraries support the network neutrality for two reasons, equitable access and intellectual freedom that were mentioned earlier. Libraries are often the gateway for Internet in their communities, sometimes the only gateway. And so in that role, we kind of serve as an aggregated end user for people trying to get on the Internet. And but we also provide access to online information. We are a portal for people to get subscription access to ebooks and journal content and other things. So in that sense, in the terms of this bill, we're an edge provider or a content provider or a small business. So we're interested in equitable access for those two reasons, to ensure that our users and our communities can get to the information they need without hindrance, and that they can get to the information we're providing without hindrance, so we don't have to compete with large content companies that maybe the internet service provider will want to prioritize their traffic over getting to our website to get to the content we're trying to provide to our users. Commissioner Pai, when he revoked the net neutrality for the FCC, basically made the argument that market competition will solve the problem, any problems of any content or any broadband providers that attempt to basically violate net neutrality. It won't be a problem, equitable access, because market competition will solve that problem. But we know in Alaska that many communities, there is no market competition when it comes to broadband. So that solution is not going to really work for Alaska, where you let multiple internet service providers duke it out and the user votes for the one that they want. The other reason we support network neutrality is around content discrimination. We don't think that broadband companies should be in the position of making decisions about what content to promote or hinder access to. That decision should be left to the individual users. The internet plays a critical role in our democracy, and it's important that broadband companies remain neutral gateways and not become gatekeepers. And finally, I'd just like to address the idea that I read briefly AT&T's comments, and they're basically, we've never done anything that violated net neutrality. Just trust us. We don't need to be regulated because we're not doing anything that violates that. And I would just say that even though it's a different issue, I would say that perhaps Facebook would have made the same argument a few years ago. So, all right. I appreciate the chance to share this. And I urge you again to support SB 160.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, Jenny Stewart, who's the founder of Custom Everything in Anchorage. Jenny, if you'd like to provide your comments on the bill.
Absolutely. So I'm coming, I own a web-based business. We started back in 2002, so ancient years in terms of the internet. And net neutrality has allowed us to compete on a national and international scale. So right now, our current competitors are people like Amazon and Vistaprint and Walgreens, huge businesses that at the moment we rank and outrank them on many terms in terms of our personal SEO, our return for web searches. So for me, a change where somebody could then pay and we would be throttled or somebody could have preference, it would change vastly my business. So we could lose everything in a matter of a very short time, which was something I wanted to mention. You talked earlier about the necessity for legislation and the necessity for it to happen now. And this is an issue I'm extremely passionate about. It has taken us a long time to amass the brands and the clients and the rankings that we have. But if we had just a minor decrease in speed, it would bump us down in terms of the search engine results. And frequently that means it would bump us off the first page. And we would be completely out of business in a very, very short time. So for me, this is an issue that I know the CRA expires in a week. And for me, this is an issue that, as an Alaskan, it's unique that we're able to compete on a national level. And that has been simply because everybody has an equal playing field. So if we have the service and the products and the rankings to compete with Amazon, we can. Unfortunately, I can't compete with their pocketbook, though. So if it comes to a question of simply paying to play, we'll be out of business in a very short time.
Great. Thank you very much for calling in today. I know you're busy and appreciate that. Is there anyone else? Let's see. We've already closed public testimony, so I don't have anyone else who's going to be presenting today. So I look to the will of the committee or any final comments. This bill does go to State Affairs next.
Madam Chair.
Senator.
Thank you.
Gardner.
I think this bill is a very important piece of legislation, and I'm eager to see it move on.
Senator Meyer.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 160 version A as an apple out of committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to moving Senate Bill 160? Okay, seeing none, so moved. Thank you, Senator Begich and Dr. Lindman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
So the next meeting for this committee is Thursday. I will be in another committee, so we will be canceling that meeting. And I'm looking to set up a meeting on Friday where we will hear House Bill 401 and House Bill 403. So we will work with the members on finding a time that works for you. Hopefully around 1:30, but my office will get in touch with you and we'll make that announcement on the floor also. So with that, the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.